The Beast 666, False Prophet, Mother of Harlots, Man of Sin, who are they? The mystical number 666 of the Beast in Revelation 13:18 as applied to the papacy proves to be unscriptural as well as unreasonable. While the numerical letters of the title of the Pope bears the number 666, there are many other titles, as well as names of individuals, who bear the same number. By simply computing the numerical value of letters in a title, or name, we find it fits many, hence we must look for biblical proof to make the application. Except we thus prove the idea, it would be improper and unfair to apply the symbol to any one individual. The idea concerning the symbolical application of the false prophet of Revelation 19:20, the woman on the scarlet-colored beast of Revelation 17, the leopard-like beast of Revelation 13, the scarlet-colored beast of Revelation 17, and the nondescript beast of Daniel 7, as being symbols of the papacy, is unbiblical, and also illogical. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns, like a lamb, and he spake, as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast, before him, and causeth the earth, and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound, by the sword, and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand, or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. Revelation 13:11-18. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Revelation 13:14. The beast spoken of here is the one with lamb, like horns. But someone else is introduced by the pronoun he, who had power to do miracles, in the sight of the beast the lamb-like. The following scripture will make clear who it is that performs the miracles. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, that wrought miracles. Before him, before the two-horned beast with which he deceived them, that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Revelation 19:20. Therefore, the miracles are wrought by the false prophet in the sight of the two-horned beast. There are many beasts spoken of in the Bible, but this two-horned beast is the only one that can be termed a man. It will be noticed that from the 11th verse on of the 13th chapter of Revelation the scripture speaks of the two-horned beast and closes with the words, "For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Therefore, the mystical number 666 belongs to the two-horned beast and none other. However, we may not conclude that no one before it could have such a number. The idea that the papacy is called the beast is altogether wrong. The papacy is represented by symbols on two different beasts. First, on the nondescript of Daniel 7, by the little horn having eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Second, on the leopard, like of Revelation 13, by the head that was wounded to death. These beasts are universal, representing the entire world in their time, both civil and religious. Therefore, it could not be said of either beast, it is a man. The papacy being only a part of both beasts' horn head on one, and simply a wounded head on the other, cannot be called the beast. The two-horned beast is the only one representing a local religio-political government. Therefore, of him alone can it be said, it is a man. Thus whosoever shall stand at the head of that persecuting power, as described in this chapter, and represented by the beast, is the one who shall bear the mystical number 666. The spirit of prophecy also states that the king of the north brought to view in Daniel 11:45 and the two-horned beast of Revelation 13 is the same power, and that it shall bear this mystical number 666. We quote, this power is the last that treads down the true church of God, and, as the true church is still trodden down and cast out by all Christendom, it follows that the last oppressive power has not come to his end, and Michael has not stood up. This last power that treads down the saints is brought to view in Revelation 13:11-18. His number is 666. A Word to the Little Flock, pages 8-9. We have proved the truth of the number one way, now we shall prove it in another. The destruction of the beast and the prophet. The destruction of both the false prophet and the beast is clearly foretold, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles. Before him, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Revelation 19:20-21. Their final end is accomplished by being cast alive into a lake of fire. But the rest of the world, the remnant, were all slain with the sword which proceeded out of his mouth, and the fowls were filled with their flesh. The lake of fire into which the beasts and the false prophet are cast cannot be at the coming of Christ in the clouds, for the wicked are not destroyed by fire at that time, but with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. The beast and the false prophet are cast into a lake of fire after the sixth plague and before the end of the world. This destruction of the remnant, those that were left after the destruction of the beast and the prophet, is not after the millennium, for the wicked at that time are not destroyed by the sword that proceeded out of his mouth, but by fire that came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Revelation 29. After the millennium and the destruction of the wicked, no living creature will eat another. See Isaiah 11:6-9. Hence, the beast and false prophet are cast into a lake of fire before the millennium, and that lake of fire becomes a type of the destruction of the wicked on the other side of the millennium, the second death, for the final destruction of the entire multitude is described in the following words, and death and hell were cast into a lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:14-15. Thus the world would be given an example, before the millennium, of the destruction after the 1,000 years had ended. The example of the beast and the false prophet is to show that all the wicked will be thrown alive into a lake of fire, and that is the second death. Speaking of the everlasting ruin of the devil, the word says, and the devil that deceives them was cast into a lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Revelation 20:10. That is, the beast and the false prophet do not come up in the second resurrection, exemplifying that there is no resurrection from the second death. Again, we see there is a type for every event, and let none despise types, for where there is no type, there is no truth. The number 666 is further proven by the destruction of the man of sin. Mark carefully, according to the following testimony, the destruction of the papacy is at another time, and by a different process. Paul states plainly that the man of sin will continue until the second advent. To the very close of time he will carry forward his work of deception. The Great Controversy, page 579. Thus the papacy is to remain to the second coming of Christ, at which time the wicked are to be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. Therefore, the papacy is one thing, and the false prophet another, and the beast still another. The beast 666, and the false prophet, who are to be cast alive into the lake of fire, are the ones who develop the image of the beast likeness of the worship in the period of the 1260 years. The time of that wholesale deception is at hand. It will take more than great knowledge of theology to escape the most powerful trap His satanic majesty has ever devised. The wonderful miracles will be convincing, and the apparently genuine spirit of worship will bring deep conviction upon those who are subject to be misled. As the great men of the world declare its worship true, multitudes will accept their decisions without personal investigation. Add to all of these the following declaration of civil authorities: as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed, and we have an overwhelming power which human strength cannot resist for a moment. Only by a prophetic knowledge of the truth, with confidence in us saith the Lord, and in the power of His Spirit, can one escape the wily snares of the devil. The mother of harlots, not the beast. It has been explained that the papacy would remain to the last. If the woman on the scarlet-colored beast Babylon the Great comes to her and at a different time, and in another way, she cannot be a symbol of the papacy, as some have thought. Revelation 17:16, speaking of the woman and the horns of the scarlet-colored beast, says, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest on the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire." Note, she is not cast into a lake of fire, like the beast and the false prophet, but they, the horns, shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh. Thus the woman's destruction is at a different time, and in another way, and that of the papacy, the false prophet, and the beast. Since what has been said cannot be contradicted, it is evident the beast is one thing, the false prophet another, and the papacy another, and the woman still another. It is of great importance that these things be correctly understood, for by the knowledge of the truth only can God lead His people unto victory. The time of the woman's destruction. To determine the time of Babylon's woman's destruction, it will be necessary to refer to Daniel 7:11, 12. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. Concerning the rest of the beasts, the lion, bear, and the leopard, their dominion was taken away, but they remained alive, while the nondescript beast came to his end. The beasts that remain alive represent the descendants of the three ancient empires. While their dominion is taken away, the inhabitants' beasts are here at the present time. The end of these beasts would mean the end of the world. The nondescript beast is not the last beast of this world's history, for he is followed by the leopard-like beast of Revelation 13:1 and the scarlet-colored beast of Revelation 17:3. The latter is the last symbol of historical events by which this present world and the one after the millennium shall be brought to an end, as previously explained. Therefore, the destruction of the nondescript beast is before the second coming of Christ. If the lives of the three beasts before it were prolonged, their time cannot be extended beyond the second coming of Christ. Says Daniel, their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Therefore, from the time the body of the nondescript beast is destroyed, there will be a season and a time to the end of this present world. If Daniel means year by time and a half year by dividing of time, in the 25th verse of the same chapter, then he must mean the same in the 12th verse. If the interpretation holds good in one verse, it must in the other. Therefore, time would be 1 year, and a season a fourth part of a year, thus making a total of 1 year and 3 months. However, the period in the 25th verse has a prophetic term of 1260 days years, but the time in the 12th verse cannot be prophetic, for then it would mean 450 literal years. It is evident that from the time the beast is destroyed to the end, there will be 15 literal months. It shall be noticed that the destruction of the beast is prophetic of the destruction of the woman. We quote the scriptures referring to both, "I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame." Daniel 7:11. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. Revelation 17:16. The destruction is alike of both beast and woman. Furthermore, it is the period, under the symbol of the woman riding on the beast, that makes an image of the leopard, like in his first stage, before wounded or of the nondescript beast in his second stage. 4. The 1260-year period was represented by both beasts. The image is a false religion internationally set up. Therefore, one is the likeness of the other. Thus the destruction of the original nondescript beast is a prophecy of the destruction of the woman, and the destruction of the one is the destruction of the other. It prophetically signifies that the image woman riding on the beast, the union of that trellis geopolitical system, shall perish 15 months season and a time before the remnant rest of the world. Let it be remembered that Daniel's vision is a prophecy, and the vision by John is a revelation. Therefore, the destruction of the nondescript beast is the prophecy, and the destruction of the woman is the fulfillment of the prophecy. The following scripture referring to the time the woman was destroyed says, "And, after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation, and glory, and honor, and power, unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." And again they said, "Alleluia!" And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God, that sat on the throne, saying, "Amen, Alleluia!" And a voice came out of the throne, saying, "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." Revelation 19.15. The woman was destroyed, and her smoke ascended up forever and ever, while the elders and the beasts were before the throne. This proves that the judgment in the most holy apartment had not ceased, or at least the tribunal had not yet vacated the place of judgment, explained in another chapter. For after the saints are numbered and sealed, their sins blotted out in the aforesaid judgment, probation shall close, and the sanctuary, where the judgment is held, shall be vacated of the elders, and the beasts, as well as the Lamb, and of the entire angelic host, after which no man was able to enter the temple, till the 7 last plagues were fulfilled. See Revelation 15:5-8. Thus it is clear that the woman was destroyed before the 7 last plagues were poured out. Quoting Revelation 19:6, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and, as the voice of many waters, and, as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." While Christ is in the sanctuary, and the judgment in progress, he does not reign, but is a priest and an advocate, blotting out the sins of the righteous. But when he is through with the investigative judgment, then he is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See Revelation 19:16. After the smoke of the woman rose up forever and ever, the heavenly host shouted, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Therefore, all the saints were judged prior to the destruction of the woman, and after she is burned with fire. Christ is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then the temple will be vacated, and the 7 last plagues poured out. The following scriptures bear further evidence. Said the heavenly host, "Let us be glad, and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." Continued the angel, "Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife," and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Revelation 19:7-9, 21:9-10. Therefore, the Lamb's wife is the holy city, and not the church, and those called to the marriage supper the saints are the guests. See The Great Controversy, page 427. They who were before the throne said of the New Jerusalem, His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted to the city, that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Revelation 19:7-8. Therefore, the Lamb's wife will be ready at the close of probation, when the saints are numbered, for they are her linen. As at the time the woman Babylon was burned, the saints' linen were ready. Her destruction shall be a signal that probation has closed. Then some shall be conscious of their doom, and shall say, The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 8:20. Others shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, they shall run to and fro to seek the words of the Lord, and shall not find it. Amos 8:12. When God's people shall have ceased from their God-given work, their answer will be, We have nothing for you. The harvest is past, salvation has ceased, you are too late. Who is the false prophet? As previously explained, the false prophet is not the papacy, or the two-horned beast, neither is he the devil, for we read, and the devil that deceives them was cast into a lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Revelation 20:10. Therefore, the false prophet is the one who shall precede the manifestation of Satan himself. Said the apostle, And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. As the doctrines held by the false prophet cannot be fully supported by the scriptures, miracles are performed to secure the confidence of the people. As the great men and religious leaders declare to the public that the so-called true religion is the truth of Christ and that the false prophet is his servant, multitudes will fall into Satan's snare. His false prediction of the coming of the Lord will be fulfilled by Satan himself, as he appears as an angel of light. His dazzling brightness and the false fulfillment of the prophet's prediction, in addition to the already overwhelming delusion, will ensnare a multitude greater than the first. While appearing to the children of men as a great physician who can heal all their maladies, he will bring disease and disaster until populous cities are reduced to ruin and desolation. The Great Controversy, page 589. The woman sitting on the heads. Said the angel, The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Revelation 17:9. It has been previously explained that the heads represent the present-day apostate Christendom. They are called mountains denominations, seven in number, meaning all. As the prostitute sits on all seven, the symbol with unmistakable evidence reveals that so-called Christendom will submit itself to be governed by one head, of which the woman is a symbol. See The Great Controversy, page 588. Preliminary to that miracle working power, Protestantism, Catholicism, and Spiritualism will have grasped each other's hand by means of a church federation. The difference of opinion in doctrinal points will be considered of no vital importance to salvation. They will see in that apparently innocent union a great movement for the settlement of differences as well as for the conversion of the world. At the appearance of the false prophet, and of Satan himself, their expectations would be realized, and the ushering in of the long-expected millennial time of peace shall be proclaimed to be at hand. Thus on the surface it will bear evidence that the world's crises are about to end. But as God's people have been warned of it all, they refuse to worship the image of the beast, which is a false international religion, and will be charged as rebellious disturbers of the peace and troublemakers. This will bring the great persecution of Revelation 12:17. To them it will be said, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? As the saints answer them in the manner of the prophet Elijah, Nay, but in that ye have forsaken the commandment of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam, it will incur the displeasure of the wicked and cause them to enrage against the innocent. The woman sitting on the beast. While the revelator saw in vision the beast who bears the number 666, and the false prophet enforcing a false religion by law and miracles within the borders of the government represented by the two-horned beast, he was shown another interesting sight. "And I saw," he says, "a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold, and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication." Revelation 17:3-4. This symbol reveals that after the woman had sat on the heads united the churches, she also succeeded to sit on the beast. The beast is a symbol of the entire present world, both civil ten horns and religious seven heads. As the woman sitting on the heads denotes union of churches, just so, sitting on the beast represents internationally the church and the state governed by the same head woman. Therefore, an international system of religion and a combination of church and state. In such a system, the great men of earth will see a vision of settling the troubles of the world, welding the people and the nations into a worldwide brotherhood, fulfilling by a medium of religion, 1 Thessalonians 5:3-4, when they shall say, "Peace and safety," then sudden destruction cometh upon them, and they shall not escape. Though their intention is to reduce crime as well as wars, their hope will be in vain. The cup, jewels, and the loud colors. The cup in the hand of the woman being of the most precious metal, and, as she is decked with gold and precious stones, it denotes the most overwhelming temptation fully realized in the miracle working power by the false prophet and Satan himself. Her cup books contains false doctrines, and being golden, it shows that they are plated with Christianity. Thus the following prophetic words shall meet their fulfillment: "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand, or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." Revelation 13:15-17. Such will be the experiences of God's people in their final struggle with the powers of evil. Satan leads many to believe that God will overlook their unfaithfulness in the minor affairs of life, but the Lord shows in his dealings with Jacob that he can in no wise sanction or tolerate evil. All who endeavor to excuse or conceal their sins and permit them to remain upon the books of heaven unconfessed and unforgiven will be overcome by Satan. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 202. Those who are without God's protection will find no safety in any place or position. Testimonies for the Church, volume 8, page 50. "Of that troublous time said Christ, he that findeth his life to gain the favor of men shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Matthew 10:39. "That time shall reveal him that serveth God, and him that serveth him not. Then shall the world be divided into two great classes, the sheep on the right, and the goats on the left." Matthew 25:33. Apparently it will seem that God's people must either perish or yield to the demands of the wicked, but mighty angels who excel in strength will reverse the current of destruction. "And a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers, and musicians, and of pipers, and trumpeters, shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman, of whatsoever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom, and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." Revelation 18:21-23. While multitudes are falling into the snares of the devil, and, as he is endeavoring to wipe out the church, the third angel's message breaks through with mighty power and a loud cry, saying, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." Revelation 18:4. And as the cry of the angel messenger rings through the earth, a great multitude of all nations leave the false but popular system of worship, and against all earthly favor take their stand with the saints, under the protection of divine power. This will incur the wrath of the dragon. Summary. The tabulation of events in this chapter fully illustrate the great prophetic occurrences that are to transpire in rapid succession, as shown in the chart. The union of the churches represented by the woman sitting on the heads must take place before the combined power of the beast and the false prophet is fully realized. The symbols false prophet and the beast reveal that there shall be a national alliance of church and state. But the woman riding on the beast denotes an international system of church and state, enforced by civil law and miraculous power. At the close of probation, the union represented by the symbol of the scarlet-colored beast shall be dissolved with the destruction of the woman or head of that union, as pictured at the turning point of the chart. The world at that time, as represented by the horns of the beast, shall hate the harlot, dethrone her, and burn her with fire, which can be nothing less than by revolution against the head of that geopolitical system. Then the prophecy of Revelation 16:19 will meet its fulfillment, and the great city Babylon was divided into three parts. That is, the union of Protestantism, Catholicism, and spiritualism was dissolved. Note the verb was being in past tense shows that the great city Babylon was divided before the seven plagues were poured out, that is, at close of probation, when the woman was dethroned. And the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon, in her divided state, came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Revelation 16:19, last part. The fierceness of God's wrath is poured out upon Babylon, in her divided state, in the time of the seventh plague. The head of the nondescript beast of Daniel 7, in the burning fire with the woman, as depicted in the chart, represents the same event. The beast is a prophecy, and the woman is the revelation of that prophecy. Then the four angels of Revelation 7, who were holding the four winds of the earth, the nations in check, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree, shall let the wind blow. And, as there would remain nothing to hold the nations and peoples together, and to restrain hostilities, the conflict within and without will result in the final battle of Armageddon. Revelation 16:14-16. From that point of the chart, close of probation to the second coming of Christ and the beginning of the millennium, there will be 15 months a season and a time. Daniel 7:11-12. At about the time of the seventh plague, the beast and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire. A literal fulfillment, and the same will become a type of the final destruction of the wicked after the millennium, which is the second death. The destruction of the woman riding on the scarlet-colored beast and the false prophet with the two-horned beast being cast alive in the lake of fire denotes that this geopolitical system will be internationally dissolved. At the appearance of the Lord, the saints shall be gathered, Matthew 24:30, and the wicked destroyed. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. The nations are represented by the beasts, the man of sin by the little horn having eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Daniel 7:25. The great image of Daniel 2 corresponds with the beasts of Daniel 7. These beasts are also represented by the leopard-like beast of Revelation 13, the mouth of a lion, feet of a bear, body of a leopard, and the ten horns. The scarlet-colored beast of Revelation 17 is a continuation of the leopard-like after his deadly wound was healed. Thus he is pictured on the chart, showing that he has the characteristics of all the beasts before him. Therefore, the destruction of the beasts of Daniel 7 is also the destruction of the beasts that were shown to John in vision, and the end of all the beasts mean the end of the world. The great stone of Daniel 2 that smote the image on the feet is a symbol of the coming of Christ, and the breaking of the image denotes the breaking of the nations. As the scarlet color beast brings this present world to an end, he also represents the world on the other side of the millennium, after the second resurrection. The fire coming down out of heaven upon the beast denotes the second death of the wicked, 100 years after the second resurrection. Then the prophecy of Enoch shall meet its complete fulfillment. Behold, the Lord cometh to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly, of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Jude 14, 15. While the 14th verse of Jude applies to Christ's coming to the most holy apartment, in the heavenly sanctuary, and the 15th verse to his second advent, the completeness of the words find their fulfillment, after the millennium, for at that time only can he execute the final judgment upon all the ungodly, from Cain, to the end of this present world. The first part of the chart, dated 1929, to the curve, marked Ezekiel 9, is the period in which the 144,000 are sealed, the separation of the tares from the wheat, the purification of the church. As the 144,000 are the first fruits, the fulfillment of Ezekiel 9, and the sealing of the servants of God, the 144,000, marks the commencement of the final harvest, or, as it is also called, the loud cry. At that time the great multitude of Revelation 7:9 will be gathered in the church by the servants of God, the 144,000. See Isaiah 66:19-20. The cases of all who are sealed from 1929 to the final close of probation will be investigated before the throne in the heavenly sanctuary, while living. The investigation commences after the fulfillment of Ezekiel 9. Those who are sealed from 1929 to the fulfillment of Ezekiel 9 close of probation for the church are living saints, 144,000, in number, who shall never die, translated without tasting death. The class which neglected their opportunity were left without the seal to perish under the ruin of Ezekiel 9, Isaiah 63, and Isaiah 66:15-17. This example of the destruction of the sinners in the church is a type of the destruction of the sinners in the world after the close of probation. The great multitude of Revelation 7:9, living at the time of the close of probation for the world, shall also never die, of whom the 144,000 were a type. But all the wicked, being left without the seal, shall perish. Hitherto is the end of the matter. Fear God, not man, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12:13.